right, what's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Straight Gaming Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Carrie, along with my partners in crime, Brittany. What's going on?
What's up, Carrie?
And, of course, the one and only Dallas. What's going on, bro?
Man.
Of course, he wants to be a little evil right now, but, hey, that's just Dallas. But as stated last week, guys, this podcast is dedicated to indie gaming company Notion Games, and we have with us the one and only Andrew Augustine. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Appreciate this. I didn't think I deserved this much attention, but I'm glad you guys are giving it to me.
And not a problem, man. We all about, we're all some gamers in here, and especially we support indie gaming companies and developers. So, you know, since I actually know you more of on a sort of personal level, I figured why not, give you this notoriety. You know, you got some things going on that are pretty big, and, you know, we just want to give you that time to shine. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. Know that much.
Hey, well, you know, well, we hope that this helps. Hopefully this helps, some other people get to know Notion Games and, you know, what you're all about, the company's about, and what you got going on. You know, with that said, we're just going to go ahead and get right into this interview with Notion Games owner, developer, creator, Andrew. And, who wants to give him the first question?
I do.
Okay, then.
I'll take that one.
Brittany, go give him the first question.
So, how did you, everybody, like, gets into, like, gaming differently, like, I want to know, like, how you got started into the gaming industry. What made you want to develop your own game?
I guess I can say, like, for a lot of 80s babies out there, you know, I was born right in that hot zone for games, you know, with the NES, Super Nintendo. So as a kid, that's what I was playing. You know, I honestly didn't think I'd be making games either. I was always into art, drawing characters and creating stories and things like that. So that pretty much helped me land a job when I was 22 at Edge Reality, working on a game called The Sims for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. And while I was working there, I looked around and just kind of figured, like, hey, you know, what made me want to do it is just like, hey, you know, we it's guys like us that are putting our talent into these projects, but we're not getting the money. You know what I mean? So that, just thinking off like that, it made me kind of like research online, like how to make a game. And the only thing that sucks about that is that there isn't really much information on the web to actually tell somebody how to make a game. I mean, I guess there's so many different ways of going about making it. It depends on your style. So, I mean, I don't know, but I just kind of, once I lost my job there, like once we finished the game, I kind of figured like, hey, well, you know, my name is tied in, you know, with a pro game. Why not try to go out and start doing games of my own? You know, of course, on a smaller scale in 2D and stuff. So, I mean, that's really kind of what made me hop into it, was just having a job in the industry already.
Cool. Carrie?
I'm gonna hit you with the next question because, you know, I've actually sat here, played this game. You know, it's your first game that I played. What is Up Up Ubi exactly? For those that haven't played it, you know, before we get to the other title that you have going on right now.
Up Up Ubi is basically, I mean, that started off as like a practice project because I had found a programmer online who was willing to work with me. And he was going to do the program and I was going to do the art. So we were going to do a different project. I'll speak more about that later. But Up Up Ubi is really just like a little iOS game, mobile game, where you just take this character. I drew Ubi as like a simple character so I can practice making games because he's so easy to animate.
Right.
And basically the idea is just to keep him afloat using balloons. You tap the screen, a balloon appears on the screen. You want him to bounce on the balloons. That keeps him afloat. You can also make him hang on a balloon by making a balloon appear above him as he's bouncing off another balloon that you... It's kind of hard to explain on here. But basically, the object the game is to keep Ubi afloat while you're destroying the enemies that are flying by and trying to rack up combos and stuff like that. So, I mean, really, that's just it was a simple project that we did. We finished it in about 2 months or so. I don't know, that was just like a little introduction, like kind of like a sketch in a sense or whatever, like a little preview of what was supposed to come.
Okay. Well, you know, with that being said, with Up Ubi, I know the next title coming is Super Ubi Land.
Yeah.
Which is probably more of an advanced platform type game. Now, what is that game all about?
I got the idea of Super Ubi Land because, I wasn't supposed to do Super Ubi Land, but I'll just talk about Super Ubi Land in general. I got the idea because there's this girl that I know. She had downloaded Up of Ubi, and she was talking about how there isn't Mario in the App Store. And I never thought about it, but really it's like, yeah, Mario is only on Nintendo consoles, you know? So I know a lot of people like Mario games in general. And so I just kind of figured like, hey, you know, I could probably make a game that's kind of similar to Mario to kind of fill in that gap, you know, that void that people have who don't have Nintendo consoles who would like to play something similar to Mario. So that's kind of basically where I got the idea. But the premise, what I have so far, is I took that character Ubi again, because again he was simple to animate, and I only started working on this game because my programmer that worked with me on Up Ubi, he ended up leaving the indie game scene altogether. So, you know, that was after I made the LLC and everything. So, I was like, you know, kind of just out by myself, an artist with no programming experience. So I figured a Mario style game would be easy, the easiest type of game to do outside of like an iOS game, like as far as learning how to make a game, you know?
Okay.
So that's what really made me to the kind of the Mario style game it's kind of like the, you know, platformers are kind of like the first real games that any, you know, people my age really kind of played back in the day. So it's kind of like, you know, bring me back to the roots, trying to, I don't know. It's hard for me to really see why I chose it because it's not as easy as I thought it would be. It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. But
I was just going to ask that. Like, did it end up being a lot harder than what you thought it was going to be making a game?
Yeah, I mean it is. There's a lot of things I had to learn, especially from scratch, and trying to do it fast. You know, because I didn't want there to be a big gap in between, you know, projects from Up Ubi to the next one. So I wanted to, you know, learn as fast as possible. Because, I mean, I'm doing the art, the programming, and all that, you know. So it's like, I don't know, it's a big task. It's definitely nothing small, you know. So, I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it was either. I can't lie about that. But, I don't know, it's tough. But the story for Super Ubi Land is basically the character Ubi again, he's flying, trying to make his way home. He's just flying through space. And as he's crossing over what was once planet Earth, I guess we just named it Terra because that's like the sci-fi name for Earth or whatever. He's passing over planet Terra, and he gets attacked. And his ship crash lands on Climate Island, and his ship breaks into pieces, and he has to basically go around the island, collect his pieces to his ship, restore his ship, and make it back home, you know. And the main villain of the story is a scientist that lived hundreds of years ago named Dr. Terrestrial. So he's basically just a brain in, like, different robot suits. Like, he figured out a way to make himself live forever just by, you know, keeping his brain alive and living through different robot suits. So he's trying to find and show proof of extraterrestrial life. And he basically saw Ubi flying above, and he shot him down, and now he's trying to capture him. So,
okay, cool.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the gist of the game, you know. It has, it's a lot of levels to it. It's like basically what you think of Mario, you know, back in the day, you know, the Super Mario Bros. 3 or Super Mario World. It's kind of like me redoing that, but kind of giving my own twist to it, you know.
Yeah, so you're paying homage all at the same time to the games you used to love playing, all in all, which is pretty cool. And I actually like the way that story's sounding. Definitely looking forward to the end of that project coming out. Dallas, did you have a question to throw at Andrew?
Yeah, I actually do. Like, you like to do like the old school type of games, like platformers. Now, with games nowadays, of how easy pretty much they are, it's A to B to C, and you finish the game. Now, is there going to be like some type of difficulty added into the game? You know, just not A to B to C, and you're done.
Well, I'm kind of bringing back the old school approach to gaming. You remember how back in the day, like a game like Mega Man, there's only 8 levels, right? But how many people you know actually beat Mega Man? You know what I mean?
I've never beat Mega Man. It was too hard. Same thing with Zelda.
Long of a game, but it's hard.
Right.
So it kind of has that replay value. I'm not making Super Ubi Land like too difficult, but it's definitely going to have its challenge. It's kind of going old school in that route. You know, there's going to be a, like, it's not just A to B. You're not just going to be able to beat a level and save after you beat a level, you know. I don't know if you remember back in Super Mario World how you had to beat the castle before you could save your progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like how this is. So you're going to have about 7 or 8 levels you have to beat through before you can save again. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. And I'm trying to have it like an open world aspect to it because there's so many different levels. There's levels you don't have to beat, but they're unlockable if you choose to. You can go back and replay any levels that, you know, to touch up on your skills for a level that you're having problems on. So it's not like a linear game by any means, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, it's good.
Wow, that's cool. I like that.
I like that, those type of games where they're difficult. So.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah, it sounds games nowadays are too easy to beat.
See, and I'm glad you guys agree with that. You know, like. But at the same time, you got to count, like, I call this the YouTube generation, where if something takes you longer than 5 minutes, you know, then they lose interest. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many YouTube clips that if you were to watch a video that's 3-4 minutes long, people get bored and go to the next, you know? So it's like, I have to kind of take that into consideration. That's why I made, like, a bunch of small levels. You know, even though they're challenging, there are a bunch of small levels that you can beat, you know, pretty, you know, fairly quick. So it's like, I don't know, nowadays gamers' patience are very low. You know, their tolerance for difficulty is low, too, because a lot of games that are out right now that kind of allow you to, like, you notice that in most games right now, you can die and basically start right back off where you died at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't lose nothing from it. You just die. Like, the old school generation, like our generation growing up, it was, you had 3 lives, or you had to get 100 coins, or find, you know, a 1-up or anything else like that. If you're dead, you're dead, and you have to start all the way back over. And just kids nowadays never got to experience the frustration to think, to figure, problem solve out, you know,
exactly
the old school games.
Yeah, I remember. I know it's like, it seems like nowadays when you beat a game, it's not as exciting as it was back in the day, you know, because people back in the day understood the challenge it took, you know, all the work, the many hours replaying the same level. And so when you finally beat a game, you felt like you accomplished something. And I notice nowadays you can kind of, like, beating a game is just a part of the experience. It's nothing to really work for, you know.
This is true.
I used to always feel so good about myself whenever I finished a Mario game or a Zelda game when I was a kid.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I noticed I never beat Mario Brothers 3 to this day, like, legit. Like, I beat it recently, but I was using an emulator. But I still haven't beat Mario 3 properly to this day.
I haven't either, but I still wore the T-shirt yesterday.
Well, you would want to mention wearing a shirt, Brittany.
Well, another thing is with our community and the generation, you know, if something's too hard or, you know, it's too difficult and they can't beat it, they hop on the forums, they hop on Twitter, they hop on, you know, whatever outlet they can get a point across to the developers, and then the developers cave in and make it easy. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's, there's no creativity anymore. Everything has to be easy.
Yeah, that's, I think that's due to,
who's playing games now, which are younger children. I mean, you know, they're the hardcore, I'm not even going to say the hardcore gamer, the old school gamer, which we will be considered, you know, we wanted the challenge at times. We like we were saying, we understood the challenge in these games. But now these kids, like Andrew was saying, attention spans are so short. If we don't give them something easy to run through, I mean, that game will sit and collect dust after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I completely understand that. But is that, like, a way of teaching kids nowadays? Because, like, if something's too hard, they're just not going to bypass. And you can take that into life consideration, like, where I work at.
I never thought of that, actually.
Where I work at, you know, like, there's, like, these young kids, they come in, want phones, and if they can't have their way with their parents, they whine and cry until they get their way. So, like, for us, we had to learn how to problem solve, what we had to do, where to jump, this and that. And now kids just run through something. Oh, I died. I can restart. Oh, I can change the difficulty lowered. And I can do that in life in general also. Instead of, you know, oh, okay, we have to problem solve this and this and work on this in life itself. You know, I just think we're getting too soft on kids.
Look at Dallas being a deep thinker today.
Wow. He surprises us sometimes, guys. But, hey, it's in there.
Well, I mean, this is what somewhere I wanted to do when I grew up, is to make games and to, you know, relive the childhood and make stuff what I thought was awesome as a kid and put it into, you know, a now generation type deal. And, you know, you don't get to see that or hear that often. It's usually A to B to C, you get your trophy, you're done, you know. So to hear that, it makes me very happy that true gaming is still alive.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to keep it alive, you know. I'm just glad that I was born in that era to be able to experience that. And it's like, I also just see the decline of 2D games in general. I mean, of course, in the mobile field, they're coming back, you know, they're stronger than ever, but as far as like full game experiences, I just don't like how everything, it has to be 3D. Like, even with the Mario Brothers games, like the new Super Mario Brothers Wii and all that, yeah, they're in the style of 2D as far as how you play, but the graphics themselves are in 3D.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, I don't know, go against the grain and bring 2D back to the, you know, not to the forefront, but just kind of like let people know, like, hey, there are great 2D experiences out there. Like, I mean, you got Super Meat Boy, and, you know, a lot of indie developers in general, you know, are doing a bunch of 2D and pixel art and stuff like that. But
that's one of my favorite games. I hate that game. I broke so many controllers, but I love that game.
Super Meat Boy?
Oh, Super Meat Boy. Oh, man.
Yeah, the challenge on that game is ridiculous.
And then the pixel art, like Fez, like that was a really good game on Xbox Live to define what pixel art is and just how that was. And then you had, what was it, Bastion?
Oh, yeah, Bastion was pretty nice.
Yeah.
That was like kind of like a digital hand painting type game, right? Like, okay, I think they had some 3D models in it. I didn't play too much of Bastion. I didn't actually play too much of Fez either. I played it, I mean, I don't really have Xbox Live. I have my PlayStation, so a lot of those games that, like Fez, that were strictly on Xbox Live, I didn't really get to touch like that.
Gotcha.
Well, since we're talking about other consoles and things like that, you know, as we know, as well, I should know, you know, talking to you, that, you know, you are planning to develop Super Ubi Land for the Wii U and all. But with that, before we go into that, do you see yourself developing for any other platforms as far as Sony, Microsoft out there?
to be honest, I would develop for anybody. I really don't care. Like, anywhere I could put the game is where I would put it. Like, that way everybody can experience the game, you know?
Right.
If I'm able to, I would like to do more of a, I guess, handheld systems, because I kind of feel like this game would be better as a handheld game, just so people can carry it around with them, beat a level, you know, take a break, you know, and get on the bus, crack open some Super Ruby Land and just continue, you know. I mean, I'll take the Wii U. I mean, that's definitely not something I'm not going to overlook.
Down.
Yeah, you know.
Turn
so.
That down. Well, so Sony, Microsoft, you know, all your
PC,
other
PC, don't forget about us. I would love to play it on my computer.
Well, no, that game is being built for PC right now. It's going to be ported
good.
To the Wii U, so you can play it on PC.
Okay, good.
Well, you know, so all you other, you know, platform owners, you know, might want to reach out to Notion Games and try and get Super Ubi Land on your consoles and your PCs and whatever you have out there, because this game is, from what I've seen thus far, which we will add the links to Andrew's YouTube channel for you guys so you can check out what he's working on. You definitely are going to be in for a treat when this game comes out. Brittany, you want to throw another question in his way?
Android users, when can we play Up Ubi?
Oh, that one right there is kind of like up in the air, because every time I say something, like, I don't even know how to answer that, but I just gotta keep it real, really. I work with different people sometimes, you know, and after, you know, I have somebody working on Up Ubi, the Android port. Like, I got a build last month, and it was working, you know, so far from the progress on it, it was working pretty well on the Android. But, I mean, from my experience of working with people tend to always give me excuses after, you know, a certain amount of time. Like, I checked up to see what the progress was looking like, and, you know, it's just I've been getting excuses. So, but I'm not going to speak down to anybody. It's just I honestly can't say when it's going to come. I wish it came last year, you know, but I'm trying. You know, I'm technically trying my best, but I have to focus on Super Ubi Land. But when it comes to Android, it'll be here. You know, I'm definitely not going to leave the Android crowd out.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
Don't worry,
that.
Brittany. It is going to come to the Android.
I need it on my Galaxy.
I know,
or you can just come and get an iPhone.
No.
I think Galaxy is where to go.
Yes, thank you.
He has one. So, but so other than, you know, we already know you got Up Ubi, you got Super Ubi Land in developments. What other projects do you plan to bring to the forefront for us gamers?
I was hoping you would ask me that.
In the future. So, no, I'm definitely going to ask that question because I know of one, but I mean, I'm pretty sure you got some other stuff coming.
I have three overall, the extra that I want to do, but really I'm going to only talk about two of them. One is a game called Team Notion, and basically that is kind of like a little superhero children's story. And, like, there's two kids, Sandy and Drew. I had to make myself a character.
Of course.
also made my girl a character. That's Sandy. And then there's a character named Panda. But he was based off a dog I had, but I made him a panda instead. So they're like a little – I guess you could think of Powerpuff Girls kind of in a sense as far as, like, you know, little superhero kids or whatever. Except that they don't have powers themselves. It's their suits that have powers. So,
like Power Rangers.
Have you heard of Streets of Rage?
Of course. I mean, you're talking to gamers here, so of course.
Okay.
Heard of
yeah,
Suits
I guess that was a dumb question. Streets of Rage is also one of those games back in the day I played all the time. Like, the music was beast too, you know. So that was like, that's kind of what I want to mold this experience off of. I kind of want to do. I'm stuck between doing it strictly kind of like Streets of Rage, but just updates, you know, like combo systems and wall bounces and stuff like that, or if I want to kind of transform it into like a 2D, like a mesh between Streets of Rage and like a Metroid
where you know, you it's a beat 'em up, but you also have like this grand like area that you're in that you have to explore. So but I don't know, I'm still debating on that, but that's kind of like my main project that I want to, like the project that I kind of want to put out. That's what I'm working on Super Movie Land and these other projects for, is so that I can kind of prepare myself to work on that one.
And now, would that one be like a 2D side scroller also, or it, would it be not?
It would be, it'll be 2D. Like, I think most of the games that I work on will be kind of 2D, like more so like kind of TV animation style of art. And
okay.
So basically, I have that, and then I have another game called, we don't even know the real name yet, but I call it Notion Extreme Dodgeball for right now. And there's this old arcade game, I think it was on the Neo Geo, called like Super Dodgeball or something like that.
Oh my God, that was my game on Nintendo. They had it on Nintendo. They had a game called Super Dodgeball, so if it's anything like that, wow.
Yeah, I can't put that out now because I want to put a bunch of Notion characters in it, and nobody.
So you gotta build it up.
Yeah, so I got to push that back to at least, you know, 3-4 projects have been released, but that, I have a feeling that's going to be a pretty fun game. You know, I'm thinking about it in a Smash Brothers type of way, but kind of just making a dodgeball instead of Smash Brothers. So.
Oh, I love Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I have a couple projects in my mind, but I know it's going to take me probably the next 5 years of just everyday working to really drop all of them. So,
well,
that's okay because we're patient.
We're patient, and that's funny. You just led segue into the pretty much the final question.
Your 5-year plan.
Pretty much, where do you see yourself in Notion Games in 5 years?
Woo. Okay. I think I have like two answers for this. One answer is I kind of want to keep it small. You know, I don't want to get too big to where it's like, you know, we get publishers wanting to come in and buy us out and stuff like that. You know, I want to kind of keep the creativity and be able to do whatever I want to do, you know. I want to keep that. I do want to grow as far as, you know, a couple people joining the team helping us make new games. But then there's another side of me that wants the company to grow bigger in general and give like, I feel like I'm a dude of opportunity. Like, I give people opportunities to work with me a lot. Basically, I always felt like sometimes, you know, minority artists have a harder chance of getting in the industry. So I kind of want to give, you know, the minorities a chance to actually be able to work on, you know, industry projects without having to go through
the ringers, you know, the hoops.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, I know that can backfire, too, because some people might not be grateful for the opportunity, but I still kind of want to give people that chance because I see how much I'm going through, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like it's just every day grinding, but it's also, I don't know. Sorry, like, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I just kind of want to give people a chance who, you know, young artists who are coming up who really show that they want it. And because I don't know if you guys know, in the industry, in order for you to get hired at most places, you have to have worked on at least 2 games. So
yeah.
Not even at least 2 games, but they put 2 AAA games.
Wow.
So it's like, how do you expect to get in there unless you've worked on Uncharted and Halo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to lie, my friend named Aloka, he helped me. He got me in there. He gave me a call, and because I went to school with him. I went to school for about a year. So I met him, and he in a sense, he if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be doing this right now. I put it like that, you know. He gave me that opportunity, that shot, you know, and I was very thankful for it. So I kind of feel like I got to do the same thing for other people coming up in the future if I'm able to
pay it forward.
So I mean, so I guess to wrap that up, you know, I would like to keep it small, but so I can keep the full creativity, you know, and make sure I can take risk and do all this other stuff and not have to worry about publishers making me change all sorts of things or whatever. And I also want it to be big enough to where I can, you know, hire people who are, you know, trying to come onto the scene. So, I mean.
Man, I think that's a great 5-year plan right there, man. I mean, like you said, I'm pretty sure. Hey, to our listeners, I mean, if you're a talented artist, game programmer, you know, if that's your aspirations, to do so, hey, look up and check out Notion Games. You know, heard the man, the owner himself, you know, he's going to be, you know, looking to give equal opportunity to those that want that opportunity, because he understands that grind and how hard it is to get into the industry, first of all. So, you know, small industry. Well, not to say, well, right now he's small, but by the time you guys might be trying to get in there, he may be a little bigger. But sometimes these indie companies are the way to go, because they're going to give you that shot and opportunity. So, you know, with that said, Andrew, we really appreciate you coming on, giving us your time to do this interview. Did anyone want to close out with any other questions before it's a final wrap?
I don't have any questions. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you giving us a couple minutes of your time to hound you.
Oh, no, it's no problem. Like, I appreciate you guys even thinking of that I was special enough to even have an interview with, you know? So, I mean, I'm cool. Like, I'm just sitting here in my studio chilling. Like, I'm good. I'm glad that I was able to at least give my point of view on something. So, I appreciate you guys.
Man, no problem, man. No problem. Well, with that said, guys, if you want to, Andrew, please give your info, website, you know, whatever you got out there, so people can check out Notion Games yourself and what you got going on.
Okay, you guys, check out www.notiongames.com. Check out, you know, our projects and what we're about. And if you are an artist, programmer, story writer, musician, all of that, if you want to put your talent and go the game industry route, send me an email at andrewa@notiongames.com.
Hey,
nice.
Hey, there you have it, guys. You know, again, thank you, Andrew and Notion Games, for being our first guest of the new year, and actually period on the on Straight Gaming podcast. You know, so you're definitely up there right now. You know, first. So
Hall of Famer. That's what's up.
You know, you're going in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, we appreciate you coming on. From Brittany, she's going to hound you now, you know, for info and stuff. And that one isn't coming out. But, you know, as always, thank you again. And always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Next week, we'll be back on topics about, you know, some of the games coming out this week.
Devil May Cry, woo!
Devil May Cry definitely is going to be on topic the next show. And
I'm going to hate this game.
And also some upcoming titles for the rest of the month. So until next week, guys, we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Peace out. See you around like a donut.